It's a Tuesday, it's studio time, it's the Football Sack podcast. I myself am back in my normal chair. I'm Jack Quigley, and with me in his normal chair is Christian Leyland. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
We've got a big review show to talk about, A-League stuff and Premier League stuff. Lots of fixtures to talk about and lots of talking points. So let's get into it and enjoy. It's a horrible rainy day today.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it is. It's been awful all week. Really,
well, I literally
had
to go like from my house to here at like 20 km an hour because I just didn't want to die.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, driving home last night, we had massively thick fog, and I had to drive.
You just couldn't see. Yeah. Yeah. It was one of those days where you put on low beams because you see more than the high beams.
Yeah, that's right. There's so much stuff in the air. Yeah. So you're listening to the Weather Podcast. It's available on iTunes. Presented by the same people who do the Football Sack Podcast.
Fancy that.
Yeah. This is what we do when we're not doing the Football Sack, is we do weather podcasts.
Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah. Jack's trying out for Weatherman at the local Network 10 station.
Am I?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I better turn up to the audition. I didn't know about it. We're here to talk. We'll start off, as we always do, with the local game and it's the Hyundai A-League. And our Friday night match saw a much-needed win for the Newcastle Jets.
Yeah, well, their first win of the season.
Yeah.
Though, again, they were probably unlucky not to have got one earlier. But, no, it was a solid performance.
And a corker of a goal from Michael Bridges.
Oh, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wasn't it? He's turning into good performances this year.
He really was last year.
And, sweet, just, you know, chested down, not necessarily on purpose to him, but chested down to him. And
yeah.
He hit it on the turn and volley, straight in the corner.
You actually watched the run he makes. It was very interesting. He starts at the near post, and as the corner's taken, ran away and out to the back, which is kind of the opposite of what most players will do.
Well, that's the best way to lose your marker, you know, run to where the ball's not going to be.
Not quite sure if it was a set piece or not. I don't think it was, but you never know. Labinov Haliti with a nice little goal there to make it 2-0 as well.
Yeah, no, he came on and just played well.
He looked really good.
Yeah. But like you were saying before, he's been at the Jets or thereabouts for quite a while.
Yeah.
Almost from the beginning, he just can't seem to settle. Can't seem to just
Which is funny because you see him play well in patches like that, and you wonder why he's not in there week in week out.
That's it.
Also, we were saying before that Ali Abbas, we just love him. He's great.
Oh, he's brilliant. He's been probably one of the Jets' top players since round one.
Yeah,
he has been brilliant. It's if we were having TFS team of the week since round one, he would have been in there. It's just unfortunate we started in round three.
Yeah, that's right.
He's looking really good. And honestly, I hope this promotes more of Asian and Middle Eastern players, like for A-League clubs to go for them.
Because if they're good,
if they're good. You know, they are very good.
Yeah.
And, you know, Abbas is, you know, he's fine to play for.
Iraq did win the Asian Cup.
Yeah, so. they know. And, you know, in the Confederations Cup, they weren't embarrassed.
Yes, that's right. They were in, like, Spain's group and stuff like that, weren't they?
Yeah.
And I think South Africa were in that group too, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Gee, casting my mind back now. And New Zealand?
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah.
And then we had Brazil somewhere and USA somewhere and Egypt somewhere and we're missing someone, but they were somewhere as well.
I can't remember who it was.
It wasn't Italy, was it? No.
No, was it one of those ones where one confederation will get two teams in there?
It was. Africa had two because they had the host South Africa and they had
Egypt
as champions. So we have the CONCACAF champions, who are USA.
Yeah.
We had the South American champions, who are Brazil.
Yeah.
European champions, who are Spain.
Yeah.
We had Oceania champions, which are New Zealand. We're missing the... Asian champions, which are Iraq. We're missing someone. Who are we missing?
Mm. If you know who we're missing, info@thefootballsack.com. That's really going to bug me for the rest of the show. It's going to be an awful show because I'm not going to... Oh, what's like Central America? What's like... no, CONCACAF, that's USA, isn't it?
Yeah, that's all like, Central and North America. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that's interesting.
This is, we're going to say it, we're all just going to go, oh, that's it.
Yeah. Anyway. The nostalgia podcast strikes again.
Yes, except with less nostalgic and more. Yeah. I wish I knew what that was.
Yeah, yeah. Nostalgia, you're supposed to look back and remember things, aren't you? We're not doing that. Back to the Jets game, a tick under 7,000 people at the game, which was nice to see.
Well, it was good. Yeah, it's a good crowd, although apparently there was an air of disappointment because they were hoping for a lot bigger crowd because of all the hype which had been surrounding them. But honestly, you know, if you're your Jets and you're getting 7,000 per game, you're not going to complain, really.
That's right.
I mean, Gold Coast,
especially this time of year, I think that things will pick up, especially as we saw their championship year. They really picked up some momentum.
Oh, well, they were getting huge crowds.
Yeah, they cracked that 10,000 mark, and from that point on, it was 10,000 every week, and they won the championship. So it could be a similar story.
Yeah, let's hope so.
I can't see them winning the championship, though.
No, I can see them making finals.
Can you?
Right, I think so. Yeah. They get some, if they start picking up the results, then why not?
Yeah, good point. I'm going to keep scoring goals because they're keeping clean sheets. They kept Robbie Fowler very quiet. He was actually substituted, which shows how well they played. So congratulations to you, the Jets. Our second match of the weekend was, we can probably gloss over this one pretty quickly. Yeah. It was the Fury and the victory. Yeah. Unfortunately, the Fury, just a tick under 5,000 up there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, hopefully with a bit of momentum, that'll pick up. But, yeah, a game that, you know, the highlights reel won't be... The people at Fox Sports doing the highlights won't be clamoring for the game footage of this one.
Yeah, no, not particularly. It wasn't really much talking points or real action. It was just a typical nil or draw.
It was your usual run-of-the-mill game that you don't want to talk about, so we'll move on.
Yeah, again, probably both sides happy not to lose it, but probably disappointed with their performances.
I think Victory would be happier with the point with their three games in a week.
Yes, no, that's very true. That is very true.
We will move on to Saturday night, and this was the game that you were at. It was Brisbane Roar, Adelaide United, and they shared the points in a very entertaining one-all draw.
Well, it was. It was a brilliant first half.
Yeah.
The first half was immaculate. Second half died down a little bit, but, you know, it's still, everyone was just, glued to the field. Well, I was. I'm sure glued to the TV screens at home.
Well, did you get a fine for that? Because you're not allowed to go on the field. Let alone glue yourself to it.
I just had the media tag. You know,
so, is that how you stop them from dragging you off? You just glued yourself to it. They had to rip you off and came up with you.
Once they realised that my piece of cardboard with my photo and a Hyundai League thing glued onto it wasn't an actual official media tag.
Right. Yeah.
I just actually just used it to take myself to the ground.
Yeah.
But, Lecky with a cracker of a goal.
Yeah, he's got a... I texted you and just said, this kid's a star. And he's going to play for Australia in the near future, the sign of a class player is they get the ball, something happens, and if they get a chance, they score.
Yeah, and he's exactly done what it. He did. Yep.
Four games in a row.
Yes, yes. So. And, it's great. Everybody at the ground, even though it was an away, he was an away team, everyone at the ground knew he was quality.
Yeah.
It was brilliant. Of course, then the old favourite, Van Dijk, actually had a miss, which is just as impressive.
That miss is all time. Apparently, Aloisi missed one in the Hart game.
He did.
Didn't see it.
Not
did
as
you?
Bad. Bosnich, like you just knew he stood up. He's like, that's worse than Van Dijk. And you go, well, actually, no, it's not.
God, Bosnich is an idiot. I had something I wanted to say. I remember thinking it on Saturday afternoon during the Fury game. And I remember thinking, I'll forget that by the podcast. And I have
done. You have. All right. Remember it for Thursdays. Yeah. In order of being repetitive, I'll leave Bosler away alone this week. Well, this podcast anyway.
Yeah.
And just say, look, Aloisi's miss was quite bad, but it was from an angle and there was a goalkeeper involved. Van Dijk's was 30 centimetres away, open net, and he skied it over the top.
Yeah, when it's incredible. Like the commentator said, do we cut him some slack because it bounced? Well, allow for the bounce and your position accordingly.
Cut him some slack for the bounce. Sorry, he's a top-level striker getting paid thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Watch the ball.
Yeah, that's right. And that was what it was. It was a case of just assuming where the ball was going to be.
Yeah, yeah. Although, great stat play by Flores, of course. He's
how good is he?
Oh, he's grown.
Yeah, star. Yeah. He'll get player of the year this year by a long way, I think.
I think so. Yeah. And hopefully he stays in Australia for 3 years and naturalises, because then that would be awesome.
How old is he?
Not too old.
No.
No,
could play. I'll tell you who was really good in that game was that the German Broich. Bloke, Broich. Yeah.
Thomas Broich. He had a great first two games.
Yeah.
He went a little bit quiet, but was solid.
Yeah.
And he's just come back. He had a great game again. You know, he's just... He's strange. He's not your typical German. He has that little bit of flair about him, which you don't always see.
Yeah,
you know? He's workmanlike, but with that little bit of pizzazz.
He looked really good. Yeah, pizzazz. That's a good word.
Yeah, I like it. He's great, and yeah, he just controlled things really. Adelaide probably had the best of the first half. I think Raw probably had the best of the second half. Probably unlucky not still at the end. With especially Cassio's red card.
Yeah, that I think it was a bit late in proceedings to really have a massive effect on the game, to be honest.
I think he had 4 minutes to go or something. Yeah. But they did have their chances in the last 10 minutes, even before he left. Yeah, I think they were... everyone looked pretty solid from both sides. You know, apart from, like you said, you know, really neither team actually looked like conceding, to be honest. Apart from Flores's, you could almost call it a bit of a wonder goal. And apart from, you know, some... It was just bad defending by Adelaide. Their defence was too deep on the set play, which meant there was no space for the goalkeeper.
That's right. Once the ball bounced, it was...
Yeah, go on.
It was going in, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, look, apart from those two moments, really... And Van Dijk's misses. Actually, no, let me correct myself. Van Dijk, he missed about three.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, he had the open header.
Oh, he did too, yeah. He had the open header, of course.
And he had two 50-50... they were 50-50, but they were one-on-one with Theocletus.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... you could say Raw were lucky that Van Dijk missed, but in the end, you could also say Adelaide were lucky that, you know, Raw didn't take advantage in the last 10 minutes. They actually had heaps and heaps of shots.
Yeah.
So, look, great entertaining match. I think the crowd loved it, and hopefully they'll come back next week for the Heart match.
Yeah, it was 7,000 was the crowd. What was the atmosphere like?
Oh, well, it sunk off stadium, you know. You always get a decent atmosphere. Yeah. It's really good now because they have the den on one side. And they've got this new fan group starting with all the Spanish drums, all the South American drums. And it's really good because they're yelling and chanting at one end. And you get all this.
I noticed those Raw fans at the other end of the ground. Yeah.
Because they've moved the away fans into a corner. Yeah. Kind of like at Stadium of Light. And so you can't even see them anymore.
Yeah.
And they just replaced them with a bunch of drummers, which is awesome because you've got noise.
I think that bands are really good for atmosphere. Mm. I know I've got some English mates, and because when England play, they have the England band, which gets sort of paid by the FA to travel with England. And they play sort of all those, the Great Escape and all those sort of things. And they hate the England band. And they just want to run up and just shove a sock in the bloke's trumpet. But I really like it. I like watching football with a bit of rhythm in the background. And, it adds a little bit, I think.
Well, because the drummers originally came in, I think, last season. The club actually let them come play on the field at half time. And then the drummers enjoyed it so much, they just pay their own tickets to come every week now.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, there you go.
And they're building up. That's where all people, the flags are going now. So it's good. Anyway, I think it's enough for the Raw match.
Okay. Well, we'll move on then to... So I didn't see. Did you see much of the Melbourne Heart Wellington Phoenix game?
Oh, only all of it.
Oh, there you go. That should cover us with some sort of wrap there.
Take it away. Have you met me?
Yeah. Do you want to hear my thoughts first, having not seen the game?
Yeah.
Well, apparently Hart won.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And apparently Aloisi scored. I did see Terra's goal.
Yes.
Just briefly, and it looked really good.
Yeah. It was just a brief shot, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was nice. It was nice. A bit of a defensive mix-up, but turned. He just jumped on it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good on him. Yeah.
Okay, so take us away with the match report.
Okay, first half was...
Take us away. Make me just lost in the moment.
Lost, okay.
So I'll close my eyes and I'll picture that I was at the game.
Okay, so imagine this. Yeah, Melbourne, you know, 4,000 people in a huge stadium.
Yeah.
No atmosphere.
Rainy, foggy. Cold.
Two teams come out and play 45 minutes of absolute nothing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's half time, which is awesome. Because
I feel like I was watching the game.
Yeah, so
there was 5,500 people there.
Yeah, okay, fair, my bad. So it's half time. Yeah, we're here. We'll go get a beer. Awesome. You know what? I need to take a leak.
Could leave that part out. I don't want to visualize that.
Yeah, no, but it's a bit of it's all right because I never got there because the line was too big, so I just went to bugger it. So I just went back to the stands. Just grabbed another beer on the way.
Yeah.
Which didn't make things better for me.
That's right, you watched the second half very uncomfortably. Yeah.
But yeah, no, so we got there and. Yeah, Aloisi scoring his first goal for the Heart.
Yeah.
Nice. Easy enough goal, but yeah, you got to take him, which he didn't the second time.
That's right.
And Terra with a defensive mix-up with the Phoenix players, and he smacked it left foot into the top corner, which is brilliant, unstoppable. He was looking a menace all game, even in the first half. He was looking great. Sibon looked less clumsy this week.
Yeah, well, that's always a bonus.
And Rutger Wurm, who I really have been thinking he is hopeless. He came out, and in the first half, he justified my opinion.
Yeah.
In the second half, he came out and played the best half that anybody in
A-League. So if the Rutger Wurm was on the bottom of the screen in the first half, it would have been very low, and then in the second half, it would have made its way up.
That's not even funny. Actually, I have to give you credit. You made a really good joke the other week, and I just totally did not give you any credit for it.
What was it?
The cardio ward.
No, that was awful. You're correct to not give me any credit for that.
I didn't mind.
Yeah. No.
Okay, all right.
Anyway. No hard feelings at all there.
Okay, anyway. So, Rutger Wurm, he played amazing.
Yeah.
I think he set up both goals, actually. And he, because he's right footed, he went to the left side. He just did Messi, just kept cutting in.
Comparing Rutger Wurm to Lionel Messi.
Styles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Messi's left footed, he plays on the right hand side to cut in. That's exactly what Rutger Wurm was doing.
I'd love to see him score and then do the worm. Yeah.
I'd
love to see every hard player do the worm when they score.
Oh, but because he's Dutch, it's the worm.
The worm, yes. Do the worm.
Do the worm.
Yes, that's right. Yes, so if any Melbourne Heart players listen to this, please do De Verm when you score.
De Verm.
That'd be great.
Well, we know Nick Calmar's girlfriend follows us on Twitter. So,
oh, really?
If she's listening to the podcast, get them to do De Verm.
How the hell do we know that?
Well, you want to know?
Yeah.
Okay, one time there was a heart match and she couldn't make it. But we weren't doing Twitter commentary, and she shared us a message going, "Why aren't you doing Twitter commentary?
Oh.
I want to know how my boyfriend's doing."
Oh, okay.
And so we got a little chat, and now we're under obligation to do heart matches.
Okay,
yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Heart support, life support.
Is there
a joke there? There's no joke
there.
There's
no joke there.
No.
Yeah.
No, I can't think of anything. Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully she spreads the word through all the wags. If we can't get all the players in the A-League following us on the podcast, if we can just get all the wags listening.
You know what? I reckon I'd probably prefer that.
Would you? Yeah. Yeah, I don't care what the A-League players think.
Yeah,
what I care about is fashion.
Yeah, fashion.
No, not really. I assume that's what wags are into. Right.
Oh, that's right. We've got to attract to the wags. Yeah, so,
Or the Vags.
The Vags. Okay.
If Rutger has got anything to do.
Okay, so here's our new Vag section. You know what, Jack? That's a lovely hat you're wearing.
Thank you, Christian. That's, I can't even pretend like I know what you're talking about. That shirt goes well with your headphones.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
It's nice accessorizing.
Yeah, that's actually kind of funny. The colour of your hat is actually kind of matching the jersey you're wearing because it's got the blue and the blue.
What, the colour of the peak of the cap matches the blue trim on my hammer's kit? Yeah, it does a little bit.
Anyway. All right, cool. So, and then the Heart let in an easy goal, just a nothing soft goal, which made the last 5 minutes uncomfortable, but they were never in danger of losing once they scored the first goal. So, Phoenix, a bit worried, actually. From their trip to Melbourne, they could pick up 1 point.
Yeah, this is supposedly after they were going to turn around their woeful away form.
Yeah, no, it's not happening, is it?
No, not at all.
But, again, the home form's staying the same, so, it might just be a repeat of last season.
Yeah, but you don't want to start putting pressure on your home form and
need points from those games.
Okay, let's move on to the final match of the round yesterday. Mm-hmm. And we'll go into a bit more depth talking about Gold Coast United in a second, but we'll talk about the match first.
Okay.
0-0.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not a lot to write home about. Not a bad game, just not much action in the final third.
Yeah, Gita is slowly starting to fit back into the A-League.
Yeah.
And Truro...
continues to be good, doesn't
he? Yeah, well, they're playing him in the midfield now.
Yeah.
And he's getting a lot more ball. And
he actually sort of played... attacking midfield, had license to pick up the ball and run and shoot.
Yeah, he just needs to get his shooting radar back. And really, again, the shots he had weren't easy, but once he can put a couple of them on target, it'll be good. I just want to see him do what he did against Fulham and just school everyone with the crazy skills and stuff, because that was some of the that's some of the greatest skill I've seen from an A-League team, friendly or not. You know?
Yeah,
it was just saw that, I just went, "That's nuts." Anyway, but yeah, so. We probably don't really need to mention too much about the game.
Yeah.
Perez had moments of goodness.
Yeah, moments of goodness.
Yeah, people who can't read good. And but he came off early, obviously not match fit. You know, he's played 15 minutes in, you know, 7 weeks. So
yeah,
he'll get better, and as he gets better, the Mariners will get better. Although in saying that, that's the first match they haven't won for about 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, if they get better, they'll be looking really good.
Yes, yes.
Let's talk a little bit about the club itself up there.
Yeah, well, it's the
2,000 people turn up for that game.
Was it the lowest ever A-League crowd?
Yeah.
Or was it lowest ever Australian A-League crowd?
Probably Australian. I'm not sure about the Knights.
Yeah,
I think those records have been burned by the FFA. when you go to the FFA and ask them about the Knights, they all just go, what?
No, that's rugby league.
You're thinking Phoenix. No, Newcastle Knights. No, Phoenix. You know, the team in New Zealand. No, you're thinking Wellington. Yeah. But I'm talking about when they're in Auckland, they're the Knights. No, there's no such thing as that. You're thinking of the Phoenix. They're in Wellington. No, I'm not thinking of the Phoenix. Before the Phoenix, there was the Knights. No, you're thinking of Newcastle. That's Newcastle. That's rugby league. No, I'm not. You get the point.
Yes. Well done.
Yeah.
That was all right. I was actually cool because I got a bit of shut-eye then. I'm a bit pretty tired. It's actually
We used to have a 30-second nap while I was just off doing a
power nap.
Yeah. So I think that the FFA will just refuse to acknowledge that the Knights exist. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like when you go to Germany and they all just go, what? War?
Vol? What vol?
What war?
What war?
I don't remember anything. That's just rubble. It was always like that. I was sort of having a bit of a dig around the forums yesterday, the Gold Coast United Supporters Club forums, and apparently they had a meeting with the club last week.
Okay.
In which they wanted to address low crowd numbers and the crowd cap, etc. The issue with low crowd numbers, apparently the club wanted the supporters club to go out and try and get some more fans, and the supporters club went, well, hang on, that's the club's responsibility, that's not the supporters club. Once they're supporters, yes, we'll bring them in and make them part of the supporters club, but it's not our job to recruit, which is fair enough.
Yes and no, in a way. I think, you know, it's also a bit onerous on the fans to say, bring a mate along to a game and stuff.
I think, yeah, well, obviously.
But, you know, obviously, you know, the club needs to be putting a lot more effort into it.
Yeah.
I'm saying that. I did see those posters you were talking about the other day.
Yeah.
What are they doing?
Just randomly popped up. They've got a game tomorrow night against the Jets, the other crisis club of the league. Mm-hmm. My suggestion to you was just open the gates.
Yeah. Well, okay, what have they got to lose?
Honestly, yeah.
You know, they're losing money every time they open the gate.
That's right.
You know?
But if you get 2,000 paying customers, if you were to open the gates, advertise it big time,
yes,
radio, television, bulletin boards, whatever up there on the Gold Coast, even down here on the Far North Coast in New South Wales, advertise it. Say, look, it's going to be free. Come along. If they were to get 7, 8, 9,000, they'd probably make more in terms of people going to the game, buying beers, buying hot dogs, whatever, than they would from 2,000 paying customers going to the game.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, long-term revenue as well, because, you know, if people enjoy it, they will have it. They will come back again.
Yeah.
You know, like, honestly, the only so-called business flaw of that plan is that it's going to cost them money, but you have to spend money to make money.
Yeah.
And like, in this case, they're not ever going to make money the way they're going. They have to do something. They have to do something drastic now. And I can't think of a better idea than what you suggested.
Yeah. It's like I went to a Sheffield Shield game at the Gabba once. Mm-hmm. It was the last day. I was in Brisbane. I was going to come home anyway. So I thought, look, I'll watch a few hours of cricket. So I went, and it was $5 to get in, and you got a Coke. And, like, I think it was a Coke and a hot dog. I can't remember. So I thought, yeah, that's great. So I went in, and I was sitting there, and I was still hungry. So I thought, I'll go get myself another hot dog. And it was, like, $4.50. So I thought, it's cheaper. I walked outside, paid to come back in for an extra 50 cents. I got a Coke as well.
Yeah. Did you actually do that?
Yeah,
that
of course.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Oh. Well, because if I wanted to buy a Coke you know, it was another $3 or $4.
It would have been, like, $7.
Yeah, that's right.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah, I walked 20 metres out the gate, paid to come back in, gave my coupon to the lady behind the counter, and got myself a hot dog and a Coke.
It's kind of funny. It's going back a few years ago now. But once in an Ashes test, Australia, you know, on the final, like, well, the third day, it was obvious they were going to win.
Yeah.
So for the fourth day, they halved the cost of the ticket and said, you bring that ticket and you get free entry into next week's one day.
Oh, okay.
To try to encourage people to come to the gate. And then, again, Australia almost demolished them, so they had to get, like, 3 wickets in the next day to win. And so what they did is they made the tickets free for the last day. So people still came, collected their ticket, and they still used to get the one day match the next week.
Yeah, that's good, yeah. So they didn't pay to go and watch, you know, half an hour of test cricket and the one day game.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's good.
So yeah, that's my theory on how to boost crowds up there. I think you've just got to bite the bullet for one game. Clive Palmer's always telling us how rich he is. So,
Shows flex some financial muscle.
Yeah, why don't you back it up here, Clive?
With some action.
I think that's part of the problem as well. I just think the Gold Coast people don't really like the arrogance with which this club is being run and don't want to really support them.
Because they're not
a community club, are they, at this stage?
No, they're not.
They're like the opposite of what the Mariners are.
Yeah. Yes, exactly right. That's exactly right. It's kind of a bit of a shame, too, because it's always the what-if, because there was two people going for the Gold Coast licence. Okay, there was originally one. It was called the Gold Coast Galaxy.
There was two. Yeah,
they were actually going to be. They were actually aligned.
They were almost in. Weren't they?
They were almost in. They were literally was just a couple of weeks. Clive Palmer actually butted in and said, "Actually, I'm rich as hell, and I want a team instead." And so FA just went without really doing any checks. Just went yes.
Yeah, another massive blunder by the FA.
The Galaxy. See, they were actually aligned with the Los Angeles Galaxy.
Yeah, they were. They're
actually aligned with them. Same uniform, same everything. Same actual organizational people.
So yeah, and I think it would have been fair to say you get a few friendlies out here with the
Galaxy. They were going to organise Dave Beckham to play for the Gold Coast Galaxy in a friendly match. In their first high profile friendly match. And and like I said, they would have had like probably a friendly once every 2 years with them, if not every year. And most importantly, there was going to be financial security.
Yeah.
Because the Los Angeles Galaxy are not going to lose money anytime soon. They're making however many millions per month just on David Beckham shows.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's that's a really big... Oh, whoops, bugger moment.
Yeah, it's another
A whoopsie doodle moment.
That will be another one you go to the FFA and ask them about that, and they go, Galaxy?
They play in
you're
America.
You're thinking of LA Galaxy. No, Gold Coast, the one that was almost on the Gold Coast. No, you're thinking of LA. Yeah, exactly. Have another power nap. I'd love to see a match between the New Zealand Knights and the Gold Coast Galaxy. That'd be a great game.
It would be.
You can literally just imagine, because that's all you're ever going to get.
Yeah, no, true. I like what you did there. That was clever.
All right.
Just a quick note. The eighth team, the Confederations Cup, it was, of course, Italy, because they also have the World Cup winners to come to the Confederation Cup.
Do they?
Yeah.
I don't even remember Italy, but yeah, of course. They went out in the group stage of the Confederations Cup. Yeah. Well done. Okay. We can safely move on, and I can sleep tonight knowing that we sorted that. Mm-hmm. So if you were halfway through typing an email to us at info@thefootballsite.com, cancel it, but thank you. We appreciate it. We'll move on. Let's talk about the Ollie Roos.
Okay, Ollie Roos.
Were you going to say something?
No.
Okay.
Continue.
The Ollie Roos went down to DPR Korea. Is that North Korea?
It is, yeah. Democratic People's Republic
of Korea. That's right, because it's sarcastically the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. They take the piss in their own name. They went down 1-0, which was frustrating. You said, of course, the reason being that Mitch Nichols came off the bench.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
It's
also the reason why Brisbane Roar didn't lose.
Yes, that's right. Good side, that Ollie Roos one.
Well, it is. It's actually a really solid side. Yeah. When it comes to youth football and women's football, DPR Korea are heads and shoulders above most other people, because they just drill them. Do you won't find more technically brilliant players, not flair, but technically brilliant players in the world. The only problem which is lacking for the DPR Korea teams in all grades is the physical presence.
Yes, and the fact that they've never seen a football match because they're not allowed to screen them. I'll run you through the Ollie Roos lineup. It was Andrew Redmayne in goal, Luke Devere, Anthony Golek, Seb Ryle, and Scott Neville as a back four. That's a pretty good back four.
Yeah, that could be an A-League back four of the future.
Yeah, that's right. Scott Neville, Taj Minicon, who was replaced by Jason Hoffman, Oliver Bozanic, Chris Payne, who was replaced by Mirjan Pavlovic, Isaka Cernak, who was replaced by your mate, Mitch
my
Nichols.
Best man.
Diogo Ferreira, who I haven't seen any of. Have you?
No.
He was replaced by Mate Duganzic, who I was telling you I really like from Melbourne Victory. Yes. I think he's got a lot of pizzazz, as you would say. Mm-hmm. And Marco Jesic, who was replaced by James Brown. So I bet he felt good.
Yeah.
There was a few unused subs who don't really warrant to mention because they were unused. But that's a Four Nations tournament in Vietnam. It's going on just sort of late September. So hopefully they can get a better result in the next game.
Yeah, they're kind of good luck.
Because it's a good squad. And
it is a solid squad.
I think that has the makings of the Socceroos squad in 5 to 10 years' time. So we shall have a look.
You know what's actually kind of just brought to my attention? Whatever happened to Taj Minakon? He burst on the scene.
We just played last night for the Illawarra. He's not doing that. He plays for Gold Coast.
Because he burst on the scene with Queensland Rule.
Yeah.
This crazy, brilliant new player. Yeah. And like,
hey, I always thought he was the pick of the bunch out of that young group.
About
that
Zulu
came
or Sirota and Cruz.
Yeah.
And seems like, well, I think most people did.
Yeah.
As he came in, he was just lively. He was a lot. Was
just so fast.
So good.
Pace will just tear anyone. You can be the most skillful player in the world, but if someone gets the ball and goes past you and they're quicker than you, you're screwed.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he was, okay, he wasn't starting every match, but if he wasn't starting, he was coming on the bench, you know, and getting a decent amount of minutes. You know, he was their wild card, Queensland Rules, but he left, and he actually cited not enough game time as the reason he left.
Yeah.
To Gold Coast. And he went to Gold Coast, and he played, like, three games the first season or something.
Bugger all.
And he's doing the same thing here. Yeah. And the strange thing was, against the Fulham game, which we went and saw, he was the difference.
Yeah,
he
awesome.
Came in the last 10 minutes, and he created the two goals.
Yeah.
And I go, it's either he's obviously got an attitude problem, or for some reason Miron doesn't have faith in him.
Yeah.
It's just, I find it a shame. I'm not being biased because I'm a Raw supporter. I just find it a shame he went away from a club he was getting consistent game time at.
Yeah.
To go on to a club where we don't get to see him at all.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a treasure. I would not care where he went as long as we get to see him play because he's a player that genuinely puts a smile on your face.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, he's good. I'll rate him.
Yeah.
And I think hopefully he sorts himself out and gets some solid game time. Yeah. Let's move quickly internationally to the English Premier League because we're not far from being out of time.
Okay.
The big game from the weekend just gone, of course, was Manchester United and Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
That fantastic rivalry. And it was just the Berbatov show, wasn't it?
It was. It really was. It was. The final score was Berbatov 3, Gerrard 2.
Yeah, that was the final score, yeah. Torres looked better as well. I think people are a bit harsh saying, yes, he is slightly off the pace, but he's not getting any service.
Yeah, I know.
At all.
Yeah, it's true.
He did not have one quality ball played through to him all game. Yeah. The one half quality ball that Morelos played through to him, he won a penalty.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's better than last week. Yeah, his hair's grown that little bit much longer.
That's right. And I still maintain that with long blonde hair, he's a world beater. With short brown hair, he's just an average player.
Yeah.
So get the peroxide out and become a world-class player again, Fernando.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, no, it was a great game. Yeah, 2-0, you thought it was in the bag. You thought, oh, this could end up in 5-0.
Yeah.
And then Liverpool, Steven Gerrard just comes on, bam, bam, two top corners. Because top corner penalty, top corner free kick.
Well, it wasn't quite. It was about halfway up the penalty and the free kick bounced before it went in, so it was going to be hard-pressed to reach the top corner.
Bottom corner.
Yeah, if that.
It was opposite day, all right?
Yes.
Okay.
So middle of the goal. It was quite a nice move in the wall, too, because you see, as he's about to strike the free kick, Darren Fletcher, the last Man United player in the wall, and I think it's Morelos, who's on the end of the wall for Liverpool, he actually shoulders Darren Fletcher and then moves away. So Darren Fletcher, your natural reaction when someone shoulders you is to push back against them.
Yes.
So he does, but because Morelos has moved away, he then falls off the wall, and Gerrard puts it through that gap.
That's awesome.
So Gerrard just would have basically aimed for Darren Fletcher
was. Yeah, because he knew exactly
what was going to happen. Yeah, so that's clever, a very nice move by Liverpool. That's Liverpool's title challenge done and dusted already, as if they ever really had one for this season.
Yes. We'll see what happens. They'll come good in the coming years. You know, I do like Roy.
I think Roy Hodgson he'll sort them out. It might take 2 or 3 years, but he'll eventually get them back.
It took him some time in form, didn't it?
They almost went down his first season.
Yes.
He miraculously saved them, and look what happened there. So
yeah, of course, we actually can't talk about the game without mentioning Berbatov's control and finish.
Oh, geez, for his second goal, and it's just I told you the best part of it is his control of the ball. The cross comes in. It's a wet day with a wet ball, and in one touch with his right thigh, he just gets it to sit up perfectly and tease himself up for that bicycle kick, because the bicycle kick itself was not the most spectacular thing I've ever seen. It wasn't a full scissor kick. He just sort of fell backwards and struck it. It was a really nice goal, but it's the control that made me
see. Technically, he's one of the top players in the world.
Oh yeah,
you know, even when he wasn't playing his best last two seasons, you could just watch him and just go, yeah, you could see.
Because his goal last week at Everton was brilliant as well, with the outside of the foot.
That finish. That finish was actually probably better than this finish.
And he almost scored a cracker as well against Everton with that volley over his shoulder that he put just wide.
Yes.
He's a class player, Dimitar Berbatov.
I'll tell you my story of when I first realised, well, this is a quality player, except nobody else got to see it. I can't remember who they were playing.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Manchester United. Like, so it's this long, really high, long ball came in. And he was like about on the halfway line. He controlled his thigh, did exactly the same thing. Kind of the bicycle kick behind him, and Wayne Rooney ran onto it, and it was in a one-on-one with the keeper. But Rooney was flagged offside, so it didn't count, and it wasn't shown in any highlights games. But it's just one of the most exquisite pieces of skill I've ever seen. And I just went, wow, this is crazy. But it's a lot of people are never going to notice it. So.
Yes.
They won't forget that. This one in a hurry, though.
In other big name results, Chelsea, they were 4-0 up against Blackpool before half time, and then just cruise control to a 4-0 win. Man City back amongst the winners.
Yes.
Carlos Tevez with a lovely little goal.
Mm-hmm. And Toure Yaya with his first goal.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, popped up in the back post, just totally unmarked, and scored. Arsenal, again, they always stumble at Sunderland. And it was 95th minute, Darren Bent?
95th minute, yes.
And this is backing up after one of the most bizarre goals. I'll tell you what's interesting. Last weekend, when Chelsea played the Hammers, we saw Matthew Upson kick the ball into the back of one of the Chelsea players, and it looped over Rob Green and went in. And I thought, well, you won't see that again in a hurry. It has now happened, I think, in three or four games since then. We had Arsenal with Anton Ferdinand trying to clear the ball for Sunderland, kicked it straight into Cesc Fabregas, a good 40 yards out, and it looped in over the goalkeeper. It happened in the Spurs game. One of the Wolves players kicked it into Alan Hutton, and it rebounded into the goal. And there was one more that I can't really think of off the top of my head, which will come to me later. But that's, interesting to know.
Got a little side note. Tevez's goal.
Yeah. Okay.
The best thing about that, like, it was a great finish and everything, chief of the got top and stuff, but the thing I loved about it was the fact that it started with Joe Hart taking a goal kick.
Yeah.
He fell over. He slipped over as he took it. And so all the Wigan fans behind him were just laughing and laughing and laughing at him. But because he tripped
3 seconds later.
because he tripped over, the ball went at a lower trajectory, which fooled
it
the defence.
Skimmed off the head of the Wigan midfield and played Tevez through.
So the Wigan fans are going, ha, 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 ha.
Just
brilliant. Anyway, continue.
The Wigan fan.
The Wigan fan. Oh, yeah.
The Wigan fan.
How can you have a team in the Premier Division of the Barclays Premier League and not fill out the stadium? Not even come close
because
to
there's just not that many Wigan fans. Yeah. They're a lower league club that's been bankrolled by Dave Whelan, who I can't stand.
Yeah. They're a big rugby league town, Wigan.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
But I think, although, to be fair, the longer they stay in the Premier League, the more young fans are going to.
Yeah, that's right.
Fine. And, if they stay in the Premier League for another 10 years, they will be selling out the stadium. It's just...
Yeah, let's just hope they don't, because I can't stand them.
Don't mind the way they play, though. I was actually impressed by their style of play.
Yeah, I know. Their manager, Roberto Martinez, is really good. Mm-hmm. I just can't stand them as a club.
Or their logo.
Yeah, it's a tree. Yeah, that's right.
What is that?
Who has a tree? And it's not like, I think Southampton have, a tree in theirs. I vaguely think they might. I know Nottingham Forest does. It is a tree. That is their logo. Yeah. But it's not like a graphic, nice colour. Because Wigan's looks like a 4-year-old drew. Mummy, I drew a tree. we'll use that for our club logo then.
The worst logo I've seen for a while, I think it's Burnley's. It looks like someone did it on paint. It's really pixelated.
Yeah, it's very pixelated. Yeah, where all the parts that should be rounded are square, aren't they?
Yeah. And how can you do that? Yeah, have that?
I have noticed that. It does look like someone's done it on paint. Yeah, you're right.
The first time when they first got promoted.
Yeah, it's a very complicated logo, isn't it? There's a lot to it, but everything is pixelated. It looks like a poor quality image of their badge.
Yeah. The first time I saw it, it was on the Premier League website. I thought, someone's having a laugh here. Some Premier League guy on the website's going, I'm going to have a joke here.
Yeah.
And then I went to the Burnley's website, I went to the Wikipedia site, and I'm like, no, their logo is just done on paint.
Yeah, the original must have been done with tiles.
Some graphic designer has charged them about $500,000.
Yeah.
To do a thing on paint. Yeah. That took him 5 minutes.
That's right.
That's good.
Okay, no. The other big result of the weekend was that Hammers season is up and running with a 1-1 draw at Stoke, which is good to see.
That's actually not a bad result.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it's great. Super Scott Parker scored again. Rob Green continues to toe the line between abysmal and brilliant. His dropping of the ball from an early shot, and then which led to Robert Huth striking the post, was schoolboy error.
Mm-hmm.
He was poor for the goal. He was beaten by one of the long throws. But at the same time, did a few great clearances, and one save from Kenwyn Jones, he tipped it onto the post, was world class. So Greeno, he used to just be brilliant, and now he's awful and brilliant.
So do you reckon you could scrape up the 8 points to equal Derby's record?
Oh yeah, no, we'll be fine. But it's just a slow start. I think we've got our work cut out for us to stay up this season.
Yeah. Although I think we were saying before, you probably had a really hard start to the season, so it's going to make results look worse than they actually
are. That's right. You look at Chelsea's opening fixtures, and then you look at sort of Liverpool's, and it's amazing how a run of fixtures can make one team look so far superior to the other one. So, we'll have a pretty good run. We'll have a month where we'll play 4 out of 5 of the bottom teams, that will probably boost ourselves up the ladder. So I just hope that we get our house in order by that stage, because that was the problem last year. We had a really easy run of fixtures at the start of the season. Didn't take advantage of it, had a slow start, and then all of a sudden we ran into our hard fixtures, and once we'd come through the easy fixtures and the hard fixtures, we had no points.
That's right, because everyone's just like, Zola's amazing, and they're just like, ooh.
Yeah,
crash back to earth, yeah. And this way it's going to be the opposite. Avram Grant has to actually scrape a few points here and there just to kind of keep the fans off his back. So he does hit a good patch.
Actually, that's interesting to note. Our first point of the season came when he wasn't there yesterday. On Saturday, he was observing the Jewish holiday Yom Kippur. We're not allowed to work. So he and defender Tal Ben-Haim weren't there.
Although Tal Ben-Haim's not much of a loss, really, is he?
Yeah, I didn't think so either, but apparently I was speaking to some of my mates who have been to the games this year, and they say he's actually got a bit of pace about him, which our defence doesn't normally have, so they quite like him.
Okay. So I just remember him being useless at City, that's all.
Yeah. He's played for a lot of clubs. He's played for City, Bolton, Chelsea, Portsmouth, and now he's at West Ham.
Yeah, he didn't really play for Chelsea, though.
No, that's right. It was just they signed him because he was available.
Yeah. Mourinho signed him, didn't he?
Yeah.
See, Mourinho actually played him. For the few matches that he was there when Mourinho was there, he actually got games on.
Yeah.
And then as soon as he left, he's just like, he didn't go, which was actually... Yeah, kind of strange, because it was replaced by Avram Grant, who didn't play him, and now he's at Avram Grant's current club.
Yeah, that's right. And when Avram Grant took over at Chelsea, Ben-Haim came out and said what an awful manager Avram Grant was, and how tactically unaware of everything he was, and how the players are basically running the ship. And then Avram Grant went to Portsmouth, signed him, went to West Ham, signed him. Yeah, so he's just a sucker. Avram Grant has the Stockholm syndrome, where you sort of take a liking to your captor and your abuser because you relate to them somehow. And the other interesting fixtures that we should mention, West Bromwich Albion having a win over West Midlands rivals Birmingham City 3-1, which again does not bode well for the Hammers. And Everton, their slow start to the season continues. We thought that last week might be the turnaround.
Yeah, it might be the jump board they needed.
Yeah.
And
they go and lose to promoted Newcastle 1-0. What a goal that was. Ben Arfa, did you see it? Great. He just shifts the ball onto his left foot, good 25, 30 yards out, and just hammers it home.
Yeah, cool.
So that was interesting. Everton, they need to sort themselves out. Traditional slow starters, it must be said, but not this slow.
Yeah, no, not this slow. It's actually kind of funny, because when Everton were here in the preseason, I obviously went and talked to David Moyes and stuff, and in all of the press conferences.
Yeah.
And he said, one of the main things he said was, like, we stopped going to the USA because... every time we have a preseason in the USA, we just slow start.
Yeah.
So you come to Australia, you've got an even slower start, so you probably won't be back again for a while.
Yeah. We should wrap up the show. Should mention the Sydney FC Comp is back on this week.
Yes, we're playing Gold Coast this week. So if you want to win a ticket to the next home game, go to our website, click on win, and fill in the form. All you have to do is... simply, all you have to do is predict the match, and that is it.
Yep.
No, nothing
win
else.
Win yourself tickets to Sydney FC's next game.
Too easy.
We should also thank Betfair, our friends at Betfair. Once
as
again,
always.
Go to our website, click on the Betfair link, open a $30 account, and have a $50 free bet on anything that you choose. That's today's show, all done and dusted, a little bit over time, but I'm sure that you enjoyed it as much as we did. We'll be back on Thursday to do the preview show for next weekend, where we can talk about the big match between Gold Coast United and the Newcastle Jets.
Can't wait.
We'll see you Thursday.